This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Talks of a trade war now one step closer to reality. President Trump signing off to hike tariffs on trading partners.
President Trump today signed an order calling for his administration to determine a reciprocal tariff for each foreign trading partner of the U.S. The administration intends to hit other countries with tariffs that match the duties they impose on American products. As for a timeline for when these tariffs might be implemented, a senior administration official suggested it would happen in a matter of weeks or months and on a rolling basis, starting first with countries that have the highest trade deficits with the U.S. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
In Munich, Germany, police say 30 people have now been injured after that driver slammed into a group of demonstrators today at a trade union rally for child care services. Authorities say the man arrested is an Afghan seeking asylum. A gas explosion in Taiwan has killed 4 people and injured 26 others. That blast happening inside a department store food court. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The City of Richland Center reminds residents that a city ordinance requires property owners, occupants, or those in charge of a property to clear snow and ice from abutting sidewalks within 12 hours after the end of a snowfall or rainfall. This includes sidewalks fronting on intersecting streets, crosswalks, and curb ramps. If ice cannot be removed, apply salt, sand, or similar substance to make it safe for walking. Lack of adherence may result in the city removing the snow and ice, with the cost billed to the property owner. For everyone's safety, please keep your sidewalks clear this winter. With freezing temperatures across the state, AAA is warning Wisconsin residents that letting their cars sit idle to warm up isn't actually a good idea. AAA officials say driving normally and avoiding hard acceleration will warm up car engines faster while also reducing wear and tear and exhaust emissions. They're also reminding residents that before they hit the road, it's a good idea to take safety precautions. Drivers should have an emergency kit with warm clothing in the car and keep their fuel tank as high as they can to prevent freezing. Wisconsin has joined a group of 9 other states and the District of Columbia in fighting to maintain higher standards for lead in the water system. The federal rule went into effect on December 30th and is facing a legal challenge by the American Water Works Association. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says the common sense rule should remain in place as lead exposure has been shown to be a health hazard, especially for children. Governor Tony Evers has also announced an emergency rule raising lead standards in his State of the State address. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brook Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So it's great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating, we were making the right plays, we were playing with energy, and it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball, the Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures only tapping the mid-teens and feisty winds out of the northwest. Slapping wind chills on top of that, making us really feel about 15 degrees cooler. And overnight, it's going to be feeling anywhere from 15 to 20 below. Then, a Valentine's Day snowstorm starts in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
It's the Earl Ingram Show. Hope you're staying warm. I'm excited to have my good friend Sandy Williams here to discuss today's news.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Thursday to each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And as I do each Thursday, at least when I'm good and lucky, I am joined by a special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Great to be here, I think. I don't know. Yes. There's a lot to talk about.
We shall see, my friend. Yes. For all of you listening along, please do join my conversation with Tom, because here at Civic Media, we're all about real news and great conversation. You can do so in a couple of ways. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You can dial it the old-fashioned way, text it the old-fashioned way. Of course, you can also go get the Civic Media app for free wherever you get your apps from. And then there's just one little button you press, little click, click. And then you will be connected via phone or text to Tom and I this afternoon. We also have Jess P.S. running the board for us. Thank you so much, Jess, for being here. Now, as I have been wont to do these past few days, at least when I can, when I'm not doing some, I'm going to just call it a Maggie meditation, some deep dive on some subject that my subconscious won't let me let go of.
Right.
I like to start with a few quick things, and we'll kind of do this a little rapid fire, Tom. Some of these you know about, some of these you may not. But I just thought we'd get your reaction to some of, you know, the headlines of the day. We're going to start on the lighter end of the stick with Aaron Rodgers apparently being told by the New York Jets that if he wants to stay on the Jets, he can't go on the Pat McAfee show. Your reactions?
I think he chose Pat McAfee because I think I heard that they were releasing him. So it's probably what he wants to do. So I'm not sure if he's even going to play football anymore. We'll see.
Yeah, he's going to become those has-been NFLers that he says shouldn't be doing commentary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The irony, the weirdness of Aaron Rodgers continues. Turning locally, Brendan Cassellis, former Boston Public Schools superintendent, named the new superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. And also today, breaking part one of an external audit of MPS schools. I'm going to dive deep into that next week. Pretty scathing, but at the same time, at least part of my reaction, Tom, was there's nothing that I saw from the headlines and my first read of the some of the coverage that was at all surprising. Like, not well organized or clear lanes of upper management, lack of fiscal controls, not focused on student outcomes. I was like, intense teacher shortage, declining enrollment because of charters, not enough money for kids. It's like, tell us something we don't already know for the $2.5 million for the external audit. What say you, Tom?
Well, we're surprised that it's hard to run a very large school system, correct? I mean, any large organization, there's just so many things that they should be working on that are just hard to do. I'm excited by the audit, though, because I think it gives a roadmap to say, especially for this new superintendent coming in, to say, this is what we're going to work on. And more importantly, yes, it'll be verifiable results. At least that way the MMAC can maybe stop complaining about what's going on, because now it's out there for everybody to see that these are the things that'll be worked on.
Well, and I think that's going to be a key accountability metric for the new superintendent. It'll be interesting to follow this again, folks. I'll cover this in greater detail next week. I want to take some time with that because there's a lot in the question of large, particularly urban public school systems, what to do about it as we face, of course, the other quick thing. Linda McMahon in her confirmation hearings to become secretary of the Department of Education, because her qualifications were what she was appointed to the head of Connecticut's school board for like barely a year. But otherwise, you know, she's a worldwide WWE executive. Yes. That's who I conjure up in my head as the head of federal education policy.
Right. That translates well, doesn't it? I don't know. I think every single one of these people that have been through the nomination process have outright lied. And it's disappointing to see, like, there's not going to be any retribution. There's not going to be any consequences for them lying about what they're going to do. And we're just going to have to put up with it. Though I did read a little Politico snap that said the nominees are breezing through. And Kennedy was 52-48. I don't think that's breezing through. I'm continuing to be astounded by the way the media is portraying what's happening. So,
yeah, capitulating,
sort
of doing the spin work for the Trump administration.
Right.
Not least of which is the New York Times. To take an example, on the very first day of the Trump administration, his press secretary got up and lied repeatedly.
Yes.
And the New York Times headline was something like, boy, she really did a bang 'em up job. And I was like, wait a minute. She verifiably lied numerous times, including the lie that anybody who is here as a migrant that didn't enter the country illegally is a criminal. That's not true. You have violated civil immigration law, but that is not a crime. There is a difference. Why don't we just go to that next one of my quick few things? Because apparently our attorney general does not really understand the difference between criminal charges and civil lawsuits. Let's take a listen.
We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV.
Tom, goodness.
Well, I'm just thankful that somebody finally charged the DMV with something. So I'm just kidding on that one. I think, you know, once again, she was one who said she would not politicize her office. And unfortunately, right now, that's exactly what's happening. But going back to the lying part, you know, I think most of the rest of the media, besides us, most of the rest of the media has now they're taking the tack of what do Democrats think about the lies? Right? And they're not even calling them lies. Just what does the other side think about what they're saying? Instead of doing a reporting job of saying, here are the facts. Here's what it actually is in pointing out the lie. I think they're just either tired or it doesn't get enough clicks. I don't know which one it is at this point.
I think part of it is the clicking, and it has this very weird sort of symbiotic relationship, right? Like it's defining its own outcome, right? Because if Musk is setting the algorithms to promote certain content on Twitter and Zuckerberg has capitulated on Instagram and Facebook, and so the major platforms are effectively only elevating pro-Trump, pro-MAGAverse content, and you have the Fourth Estate largely bending a knee and simply saying, well, because we need clicks and this is how our machine is fed, and we are, in fact, this shows, lays bare the falsehood, the 30-year falsehood of it's the liberal media. No, it's corporate media.
Corporate media.
Right.
For-profit media.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been disturbed by this as well. We're also getting breaking news. Speaking of lies told by these appointees or nominees in their confirmation hearings. Of course, Bondi saying she's not going to politicize the Justice Department or the U.S. Attorney's Office. The directive from Pam Bondi's U.S. Attorney and Department of Justice to the Southern District of New York to drop the corruption charges against Mayor Eric Adams has now resulted in the top federal prosecutor in Manhattan resigning after being ordered to drop that case. Again, apparently it is exactly political prosecutions and favor trading. Eric Adams bending the knee to Trump and just transactionally quid pro quo. And now Trump will wave his magic wand. No more corruption charges. Ta-da.
Yeah, but the really interesting thing is the charges have not yet been dropped. So I find that to be fascinating at this point that, you know, they've been ordered to drop it. Now you have a resignation. Eric Adams has already said he's thinking of running as a Republican, you know, down the line. It, you know, it's just astounding to watch this. But bigger picture wise, I think that office is going, we got to figure out a way to keep these charges alive.
My personal opinion, Tom, is I don't know that they can. If you do not follow sort of the directives, it doesn't matter how good faith your basis is. You can be suspended even within the civil service protection. Certainly, those that are at appointee levels can be removed or they can resign.
Yes.
Query whether it amounts to good cause, jeopardizing people's retirements. I just don't know how that plays out. And this is why nominee after nominee was asked this question. If you are given an unconstitutional directive, an unconstitutional order, will you follow it? And that is the rub. I've expanded that to be if you're given an immoral order, according to what, you know, moral code you may or may not.
The answer is clearly yes at this point. Yes, I'll do it. But here's the question for you, Maggie, is in this Southern District office, could they just have people that keep saying no to dropping the charges?
Fill the posts.
Sure. But what if it gets to that point? What if everyone in that office resigns and they have to bring somebody else in? Is this one of those potential guardrails that there's enough pushback that people go, wait a minute?
Well, this is where, you know, we have to recollect what occurred in Donald Trump's DOJ leading up to January 6th.
Yes.
And that's where Donald Trump threatened to install as the attorney general a paper pusher environmental lawyer who knew nothing about, frankly, anything to do with election law or anything that was relevant to that moment. And Rod Rosenstein and others that were in the DOJ leadership said, we will all resign en masse. You also had White House counsel Don McGahn and others telling Trump, you can't do this. Those people, the Don McGahns of this world, the Rod Rosensteins, I don't know if you would see mass exodus. I don't know if you'd see those resignations. I don't know if the public would care because we're at this weird inflection point where the Trump base has yet to have all of these policies come home to roost.
Yes.
Their checks are still clearing, so what do they care? Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. We got a special guest co-host with me today. His name's Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. Friend of mine and a friend of yours. We got Jess P.S. on the board, and we've got you joining our discussion of real news and having this great conversation. So give us a call. Send us a text, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. election day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before election day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. No. It's tariffs, inflation, and shutdowns. Oh my.
Oh my.
We have so much to talk about here, Tom, and to each and every one of you. We want to hear your concerns.
Yes,
your
please.
Thoughts on these policies. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Donald Trump, just about an hour ago, announcing what I'm going to call basically, yeah, we're going to have trade wars. We're just going to tit for tat tariff our way into inflation, and forget you, middle class. Announcing, this is the like smart way to put it, he's going to impose, quote, reciprocal tariffs on U.S. trading partners that could roil relations abroad and raise prices at home. In other words, if a country's got a tariff on a U.S. product coming into their country, he's going to match it or beat it. This is trade wars. Yes, we had the small reprieve on the across-the-board Mexico and Canadian tariffs. Those, many think, are still coming. He's now put the aluminum and steel tariffs in place. These tariffs, this sort of approach to economic policy, is going to be incredibly hard on the swing states, and especially states like Wisconsin. Tom, let's just start big picture. Promise kept or promise broken or all of the above?
Well, I think to the people that followed Donald Trump, especially through Fox News and the other outlets, it's promises kept, right? He keeps talking about tariffs, you know, but I think you and I both realize that these tariffs are going to be initiated in a haphazard way if they're initiated. I think he's already proven with Canada and Mexico that he would rather threaten than actually implement. But the other part of this is, you know, and I was trying to figure out, like, why are all these corporations coming with bags of cash to the inauguration fund? And I think these carve-outs are exactly what business industries are going to be looking for. And that's true not only for tariffs, but for deportation. So there's all these different industries who are just want to be on the good side of Trump so that there'll be these backroom deals. But the weird thing is, and this is where I think we'll talk about this later, is the level of corruption.
Yes.
That is happening. It's just unbelievable at this point. And there's nobody who is going to be investigating it, and there's nobody that can do anything about it.
No,
so I'm just watching this whole terrorist thing as this is just a way to line Donald Trump's pockets. It has nothing to do with the direction of where we're going. And it's just going to hurt the economy because it creates indecision. I think you saw that in the latest indices. It's going to create indecision small business, consumer confidence, you name it. Those are all going to be impacted by this.
Jay Powell, ahead of the Fed, saying, listen, we're not doing it. We're not bringing rates down.
Right.
Worry how long Jerome Powell will remain in that position. Donald Trump on the campaign trail, day one, I'm going to bring inflation down. I'm going to enact policies to bring inflation down. Now, not so much. Last week, Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary, when asked at what point Americans would begin to experience relief from these high prices, said, I don't have a timeline. So day one, and I don't have a timeline. Unfreaking believable. J.D. Vance saying, oh, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's going to take a little bit more time.
Right.
What happened to day one? What happened? I just want to know, where is the day one price relief? As of January, a dozen eggs averaging $4.95, up from less than $3 several months ago.
If you can find them.
If you can find, right.
Yes.
This to me, and again, I don't think Trump's base has felt any real impacts yet, right? It is just sort of the talking heads of it all.
Right.
And they're being, they call it electorate priming, where it's like,
right.
Oh, I'll start telling you, you know,
yes.
It, just trying to readjust your expectations. This is a promise broken. We got our inflation figures on Wednesday, right? Inflation is now at 3%. It is up year over year. It is up month over month. Core inflation, which excludes food and gas prices, which are notoriously volatile,
yes,
was actually up 3.3% on a yearly basis.
Right.
And
all categories.
Blaming Joe Biden. But I thought it was, wait, you said day one.
Right.
But it's
all
Joe
categories.
Biden, but day one. Yeah.
But he also, I think, posted that it was Biden's inflation, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's going to be at least 6 months worth of it's the other administration's fault. We didn't have it. This isn't ours. So, but I also don't think his voters are hearing the same things that you're hearing or reading.
No,
the same
information
things
environment's
reading.
Totally different.
Yep. So they're just going to go along with it and go, okay, but they also have been primed to feel pain, right? They've been told you need to sacrifice. But it's not sacrificing for the country. It's sacrificing for Donald Trump and Elon Musk. That's who they're sacrificing for.
855-752-4842. I think we have a respectful bit of disagreement. Robert from West Dallas, what do you have to say, sir?
I would say with trade, there is one bright spot. The bright spot is the de minimis tax law. So, you know, you go to a foreign country, there's an $800 exemption, you know, you bring back a rug or a vase, things like that. Corporations have been abusing that tax law for years. So if you think of the fashion industry, Shein
Timu
and companies
Shein.
Like that,
Temu,
right, they're not paying taxes. So that impacts Main Street because we're making up the gap. Their products are complete garbage. They're filling up landfills, so there's an environmental impact. And on top of it, some of the products are made with slave labor, so like religious minorities, like the Uyghurs. So there is some positive to this. But I guess what I'd like to see from the Democrats is don't...
My understanding, let me hop in here, Robert. My understanding is that the original announcement on the China tariffs, raising it, was that he was going to close the de minimis exemption. And then the day later, the Trump administration said, no, we're going to keep the de minimis exemption. We've got to take care of
it. Of course we did.
Right. So all those potentially good impacts, right out the window.
Gone.
We got to take a little break. We're going to take your phone calls when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tariffs, inflation, and shutdowns. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Promises kept or promises broken? More when we return right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, federal monies might be in doubt for Wisconsin farmers. Governor Tony Evers looking to invest about $80 million more in Wisconsin agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. And one part of the governor's proposed 2025-2027 executive budget would create a brand new program for Wisconsin dairy farmers. $1.5 million he is earmarked to create a new pilot Dairy Agriculture Resilience Investment Now Grant, or DARING for short. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski explained some of the details.
The great thing about this is it's getting dollars in the farmers' hands. So if they want to make improvements, whether it's technology, whether it's equipment, something to modernize on farm, this is going to give them a little bit of help to kind of make those investments, because we know things aren't cheap. And this is a way that the state can be a partner. The governor's been thinking about this for some time because he wants to get resources in the hands of farmers to let them know, hey, we're going to be your partner in modernizing and expanding your operation if that's what you want to do. And that, you know, with the way technology moves these days, it's important to help people keep pace.
Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, describing the new proposed pilot project, Dairy Agriculture Resilience Investment Now Grant, DARING for short, allowing farms to invest in things like upgrading their IT infrastructure, milking equipment, or milk processing equipment.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And yesterday, the U.S. House Committee on Education and the Workforce passed the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act. It's a bill that would allow for whole and reduced fat milk to again be served in school cafeterias. The vote, 24 to 10. That's a look at what's happening in food news for a Thursday. Don't forget, more available anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures only tapping the mid-teens and feisty winds out of the northwest. Slapping wind chills on top of that, making us really feel about 15 degrees cooler. And so overnight, it's going to be feeling anywhere from 15 to 20 below. Then, a Valentine's Day snowstorm starts in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the woman who wants to head the Department of Education says private and charter schools have every right to refuse kids who don't meet their standards. What does that mean for children in Wisconsin?
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
We'll be right back.
we know? Is it actual corruption being ferreted out, or is it just Elon Musk self-dealing at epic billion-dollar level proportions? What is corruption anyways? Is it trading political favors for dismissing criminal charges pending against the mayor of New York City? Now, apparently, again, more breaking news that three federal prosecutors have resigned out of the Southern District of New York. And just so you all know, if you hate corruption, if you think Wall Streeters and the economic elites, the billionaire class, are getting away with all sorts of shenanigans, the number one office in the country for prosecuting financial crimes, for the screwing of Americans, is the Southern District of New York. People exiting that office who are career frontline prosecutors, who know what corruption actually looks like, you know, like the mayor of New York City doing really nice things for a foreign government without reporting them and then covering it up and making it look like legitimate campaign donations when it's not really not, when it's not really that, and taking first class plane tickets in exchange for other favors. Yeah, that could, if you want prosecutors that actually know what corruption looks like, that actually stand up for the financial people that get away with all sorts of misdeeds, yeah, that's in Wall Street. That's the Southern District of New York. This is not good. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great co-host with me today, Tom Paulswitz. And each and every one of you, 855-757, 855-752-4842. Join this conversation. Tom, there's been a
lot. Maggie, I'm just going to chime in real quick on the Southern District. I think these people are showing tremendous integrity by saying, I would rather leave this position that I love, that I've worked so hard to get and really am doing great things, instead of bowing the knee to Donald Trump and doing something that totally lacks integrity. So kudos to them. I hope they land someplace great. But it damages the office. And all the things you just said they are absolutely in flux, and it's going to damage our country.
Horse trading for favors, right? Yes. That is what's happening with the billionaire class and Donald Trump. He's basically put a sign outside the White House, outside of every federal agency headquarters, and it said, open for bribes. Please come and bribe us with whatever donations or grift or graft you can get away with. And by the way, we'll only investigate the people that have voiced political disagreement. That's the whole game. It is out front. It is in the open.
Yep.
And it's not going to serve the middle class at all. Whether or not people get that is in large part irrelevant to what the actual impacts on people's quality of life. And a lot of the impacts of corruption are indirect.
Yes.
Right. And it takes a while for that system to become completely corrupted. They're accelerating it, I think, at an unbelievable warp speed. But those effects will come to roost, no doubt. 855-757-4842. I briefly want to just share some of the reporting on the impacts of Trump's trade war, of Trump's taxes on the middle class via tariffs on businesses and regular folks right here in Wisconsin. According to an economist from the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, the imposition of tariffs on goods from Canada, Mexico, and China, as well as these reciprocal tariffs, Wisconsin consumers would see a, quote, substantial increase in costs in general. Those are three greatest trading partners as a state. Prices will be going up for groceries, fuel, cars, machinery, appliances, electronics, toys, and clothing, fruits and vegetable. Housing will get more expensive. There's a reason why we trade, and there's a reason why corporations and manufacturers specialize, and that allows us to consume a variety of goods and services at the lowest prices possible. It is impossible to think that we're going to produce mangoes in Wisconsin. It's just too cold here. It's unlikely that we're going to produce soybeans in the south of China because it's just too hot and wet. you cannot stand up supply chains. You cannot close a plant in Canada and pop one up in Wisconsin overnight. Stuff can take decades. We import a lot of farming equipment from abroad here. Here's another one. You were talking about, sort of what I'm going to call the tariff corruption, which is, and I'm going to call it regulatory corruption, right? Yes. Like, oh, Donald Trump will deregulate AI and tech to benefit Zuckerberg and Elon because they're supporters, right? And in response, he will also, in that transaction, he's also going to put tariffs in place to protect them against countries, foreign countries that try to regulate those industries.
Yes.
Right? This is the problem. This one is absolutely unbelievable. Chuck Grassley, of all people, is asking Donald Trump to exempt potash from Canadian tariffs.
Yes.
Because potash is a major fertilizer in agriculture, and we almost exclusively get it from Canada. Guess what the Wisconsin ag business needs? Fertilizer.
Potash.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need that.
And it's also useful in the cement industry. So, I mean, there's just a...
it's one of those things.
Right.
$2 billion in annual commodity crop sales, gone. That's USAID. That's going to impact Wisconsin farmers. There are a bunch of grants and reimbursements that have been canceled, impacting farmers here in Wisconsin. Canadian companies canceling contracts because they can't do the correct amount of fiscal planning or supply chain planning, so they're just canceling them. 41% of the food aid provided by USAID is purchased from American farmers.
Yes.
Oops. That's not going to hurt Wisconsin at all, is it?
Right. There's a half a billion dollars of food sitting in warehouses right now, spoiling.
It's just going to rot.
Just going to rot because
that makes good sense,
it's not going
Tom.
Anywhere. Yes.
Yeah. How about this?
Money.
Here's Austin Ramirez, Chief Executive Officer of Husco International, a Waukesha-based engineering and manufacturing firm for industries including automotive and off-highway equipment. Trump's policies will, quote, certainly create inflationary pressures. It's going to impact a lot of our suppliers. We move to a just-in-time manufacturing approach, right, which is people don't stock the imported or the products that they need to manufacture final products. This is insane. Like, JIT is going to shut down or at least cause major supply chain disruptions and price increases in a number of Wisconsin industries.
Right. And we all know that most of the inflation that we went through was caused by supply chain difficulties during COVID. You know, I think the other thing, Maggie, and I know you've said this before too, is that one of the ways to create a less warfare environment is to have free trade between countries. And the more international trade there is, the likelihood of war happening between the countries goes down substantially. So this is unwinding that. This is creating a much more dangerous environment across the world. And so this America First idea is being played out in this way, but it's also going to make our country less safe and less able to protect itself. But that's a whole nother, there's a whole topic there, isn't there?
Yeah, because it's these things are interrelated. You cannot pursue economic isolationism and not have that impact your foreign affairs and your security. It's sort of one of the original justifications for increased globalization, because if you have a trading relationship, it's harder to go to war with that trading partner. Globalization has its problems. It didn't work as hoped. And yet, you can't look at these things as if they're siloed. It simply doesn't work that way. Also, Trump's embrace of corruption is not going to help bring down global corruption, which is terrible and not very good for American safety and security.
Did they just get rid of the Foreign Bribery Act?
Yeah, basically.
So
they've
gutted it.
Exactly. Eric Ice, Isbister. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's the CEO at GenMet, a metal fabrication company in Mequon, said, "I've been here for 26 years, proud to say I never laid anybody off, but if I make a bad decision on material purchases, building improvements, or a machinery purchase, the only thing I have left is to lay people off." Again, the CEO, Austin Ramirez at Husco, said this: "Our job is to make sure that we, Husco, don't get caught in the middle. So we're going to pass on those increased costs to our customers." Rockwell, right. Harley, they're all freaking out.
Of course.
This is bad. We're also hearing reports out of some of the people working in local and state government that they're already seeing increased costs.
Yes.
For the thing. And listen, government consumes a lot of goods. And trust me, that will eat through your taxpayer dollars as if we had extra to go around. Let's go to the phones. We got Jack from Merrimack. You're on the air, Jack. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Let me start out with a statement, and then please feel free to correct me if this is not right. But it seems like Trump and his minions have repeatedly violated laws. Trump can't unilaterally throw out birthright citizens, and his right. minions can't legally close departments established by Congress. You can't Correct. Withhold funds, if I understand the Impoundment Act, although his minions, his department head, certainly could mess with that. But some of these are violations against state laws, too. For instance, every state I know has got laws against accessing private information like Social Security and bank account numbers. So here's my question. It's two parts. First of all, do you think we'll have real elections in 2 and 4 years? Because if people are effectively disenfranchised, even red states, I'm pretty sure all bets are off. There's no way to get these MAGAs out. And secondly, I realize Trump could easily create a list of everyone from the 20-year-old hackers to probably himself, given the SCOTUS composition, and blanket pardon them like he did the 1,500 or so domestic terrorists. But he can't do the same for state charges, and as far as I know, can't alter civil suits in state courts either. If, hopefully, when the MAGAs are voted out, even 4 years after the fact, does the statute of limitations, has it been exceeded by then? Couldn't the minions and even Trump be charged for these violations of state statutes and sued for damages in civil courts?
Great questions, Jack. Let's try. The first one was about the that most of what he's doing is illegal. It's also not self-executing. What I mean by that is to say the executive orders don't operate once he signs his name with a big Sharpie. Agencies actually have to take actions. That means, again, that there is all of this litigation, more cases every day that are resulting in injunctions. Even the case that where the injunction was lifted yesterday, it was only lifted. This was about the buyout offer to federal employees.
Yes.
It was only lifted based on standing. That'll get refiled by plaintiffs with more direct standing. Another injunction just issued about transgender care. Like every single day, there's 45 plus cases, some of them proceeding before Republican appointed judges that are stopping what he's doing. I went into some detail about this on Wednesday. What he's doing is largely illegal. If he actually had a mandate, if he actually had strength, what he would be doing is working with Congress and enacting laws well within constitutional parameters to dismantle the government permanently. The fact that he's not proceeding that way, the fact that he's frankly doing this in a pretty sloppy way, even the EOs that he has executed that are clearly within his powers are vague, hard to implement. He's weak. Don't believe the hype. This isn't strength. This is messy incompetence and weakness in its highest form. We come back, we're going to take more of your calls. I've got a great co-host with me, Tom Paulswitz. I got Jess P.S. on the board. It is Thursday afternoon. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We go back to the phone and text lines after these brief messages.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news? You've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, joined today by special co-host Tom Paulswitz. He joins me every Thursday, and so do each and every one of you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I'm just going to tease this right now. You're not going to want to go anywhere, because just after the top of the hour, we are going to break some very important news, very important to every single Wisconsinite, so do not go anywhere. But right now, for the end of this hour, we're talking about lions and bears of my... No, tariffs, inflation, and government shutdowns.
And rule of law, I think that last part that you talked about, Maggie, was so important. It's understanding what are the actual levers that can be used to slow down lawlessness. You know, my concern is that, you know, Congress right now is crafting their budget package. And I think a lot of what has already been happened, they're going to try to put into and codify into their budget. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the actions that have been taken are unlawful. But I think our caller, I think it was Jack, right, who had talked about, you know, is there just blanket pardons on the table? And then what can really be done to say this is just awful behavior and unlawful and hold people accountable to it? And that's the part that, you know, my wife and I have talked about this over and over every day for the last 3 weeks. Where are the guardrails? Where are the ways that people can be able to push back? And where can we rely on the checks and balances in the government to actually work?
Yeah. We are at a very critical juncture for our country. I wanted to give some props to Ken Bob from Dailyville, pointing out this. When I cite an inflation number that is month over month or year over year, Donald Trump's inflation being at 3% actually is much higher than that, because the year over year number takes into consideration the 11 prior months under Joe Biden. So basically what we've got, folks, is an effective inflation rate since the day Donald Trump took office that is probably nearing 5.5%.
Yeah, that's close to 6.
Closer to 6, arguably. Yep. So let's go to the phone lines and see how that's going. Hey, CJ, I don't remember when Donald Trump promised us a 6% inflation rate. Do you remember that from the campaign? I thought it was the opposite.
No, I don't believe so. But you know what it was for Joe Biden over the 4 years? 22%. And now,
that's not true, CJ. So I'm going to dump you if you... That is simply not true. Stop watching Fox News and only Fox News. The highest inflation was 9%. It's not true. I just don't...
God. I can I can list
fine. Send me a text. Send me a text, CJ, with all of your sources. And if I'm wrong, I will correct myself next week, Tuesday, on the air. But I'm not letting
you
talk about
22%. But, CJ, you have to agree that it had come down from 9.1 to about 2.8. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because he drove up interest rates to 9%.
Well, I think the Fed...
Joe Biden today. Oh, my God.
Thanks, CJ. We appreciate your call.
Goodbye. The Fed sets interest rate policy, not the president, unless Donald Trump wipes away Fed independence. And houses, if you think they're expensive today, CJ, try it with a steel tariff in place.
Right.
We experienced that under Trump one, and it blew up housing prices.
Right. And there's a difference between mortgage rates and, you know, Fed funds rates and a whole bunch of different rates. So it really all depends what you're talking about. But mortgage rates, I think, peaked out around 8%.
Yeah.
So which are driven by the 10-year. So, you know, and that's the thing. It's like it's hard to have a discussion with people who aren't listening or don't understand the real facts. And when you use them and talk about them, you get that kind of interaction. And it's very frustrating because it's like we should be able to talk about what the issues are in conjunction with what's the underlying data telling us. And we had a whole show last week just on data alone, which is at risk, right? Because the less you know about what's really happening, the easier it is to pretend things aren't. Like the CDC right now not telling us anything about the bird flu epidemic that's happening, which we're just flying blind right now, not to use a pun, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, not good at all. Richard from Waukesha, you're up next. What would you like to say, sir?
Well, I've been throwing these ideas around. You know, the corruption is nothing new in figuring it out and everything. And the plan ahead to decide what's going to happen, I started thinking about way back in the day when they made the Constitution and we became the Founding Fathers. A lot of them were farmers, or they knew farming. And a lot of these decisions that are being made are just small little pieces of the puzzle. And they acknowledge the different beliefs spiritually of people. So they accommodated it, even if it wasn't a smooth accommodation. It's like a table with a puzzle on it, and you shake it, and all the pieces start to fit in.
Richard, I gotta hop in simply because we're running out of time. I'll tell you what corruption looks like. Corruption looks like this: a GOP budget proposal that is promising $4.5 trillion in tax cuts that will go 90% to billionaires and 100 millionaires, while at the same time proposing nearly $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts, $230 billion in food program cuts, and $330 billion in education cuts. That's corruption. That is pay to play at the highest level, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. When we come back, we're going to break some news with Tom and Jess and each one of you. Do not go anywhere. The fun continues this afternoon here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Breaking news. And a very important guest are next.
Looking
keep
forward.
Locked.
Yep.
Yes.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition. Our old friend Reed Galen, founder of The Union, will be here to talk about voter registration, how to be a voter, and we'll do a little what's worse.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and U.S. trade partners will face matching tariffs on duties imposed on U.S. goods. President Trump signed the reciprocal tariff executive order, setting the stage for a potential trade war.
Prices could go up somewhat short term, but prices will also go down.
President Trump also explained his call to Russia's President Vladimir Putin before talking with Ukraine's leader about negotiating an end to the war.
Somebody said, oh, I should have called Zelensky first. I don't think so. I mean, we have to find out whether or not Russia wants to make a deal. I know that Zelensky wants to make a deal because he told me that, but I now know that Russia wants to make a deal.
Ukraine's leader says the U.S. comments that Ukraine should give up territory to Russia are premature. In talks, RFK Jr. has been sworn in to be Health and Human Services Secretary. It comes just hours after the Senate voted to confirm his nomination. That vote along party lines, except for former GOP Senate leader Mitch McConnell, who was the only Republican no. This is ABC News.